We hear another cheery message from our friend Job today, don't we? I will never see happiness again. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this is typical language we hear from Job, right? Job is sort of emblematic of people who suffer, and in particular, people who suffer without any real reason, you know, who get that sort of meaningless suffering that kind of enters our lives. A lot of us have been able to identify with Job from time to time, right? We've all suffered. We've all struggled and asked why, and understand Job's feelings, particularly in this moment. It reminds me of the fact that, you know, in our world, there are many who suffer in various different ways, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Suffering is, unfortunately, a symptom of human life ever since the fall. God told us that it would be. And then Jesus further confirmed that suffering would be a part of the life of a disciple. So we shouldn't be surprised when we experience suffering, but what do we do with it? What do we do with our suffering? You know, there's a huge industry of palliative advice, right? Palliative advice that people give in order to make others feel better. If you go to a bookstore, usually somewhere around the religion section, there's a lot of this sort of religious self-help stuff, right? Like, you know, you read it and you hear, oh, if I just believe this, everything's fine. And people seek this stuff out. People seek pseudo-religious experiences in order to find comfort for themselves, but also to put meaning to their life. Because so many of us suffer from a lack of meaning. And we try to attach that meaning to something. And along with that meaning comes happiness, right? The pursuit of happiness is one of our foundational rights. Life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. So we pin our happiness to various things. If only I have this, then I'll be happy. Right? I get a new car, I'll be happy. If I graduate high school, I'll be happy. If I'm able to retire, I'll be happy. If I can move to Disney World, I'll be happy. And perhaps, briefly, you are, right? Because all of those things are good things. All of those things should bring happiness. But ultimately, as part of our human blueprint, part of our DNA, is we always have a yearning for something more, right? No matter how big and wonderful of a meal you eat, you will be hungry again. I guarantee it. If it's a Chinese meal, you'll be hungry again in about an hour or two. But it depends, right? But you will always end up yearning for more. And that is normal. That is part of the human condition. However, so many of us see that yearning is symptomatic of being unhappy. Right? Because we yearn for something, we're somehow incomplete. We're somehow unhappy. And so we try to complete ourselves with various practices, various attempts, various things. Sometimes it's drugs and alcohol. Sometimes it's sex and dangerous relationships. Sometimes it's possessions and accumulating things. But all in all, those things always leave us empty, or at least yearning for more. And we think that, you know, if I have this extraordinary experience, then I'll be complete and everything will be wonderful after that. And what our readings tell us today is that meaning doesn't come from extraordinary experiences. It doesn't come from filling that emptiness with anything. It comes from a person. Wholeness, completeness, fullness, meaning All of that comes from Jesus Christ for the believer. That in finding Jesus, we find our meaning. In finding Jesus, we find our purpose. In finding Jesus, we are complete. And that yearning in our heart is truly a yearning for Christ. And that's true for everyone. St. John Paul II once said to young people, I think it may have been a World Youth Day, he said, you've come here looking for something. You seek happiness. You seek meaning. You seek purpose. You seek joy. You seek significance. And he says, I am here to tell you that it is Jesus whom you seek. Because Jesus gives all of those things. When you long for happiness in your heart, it is Jesus that you are looking for. And it is that meaning that Jesus gives to our lives that makes everything worth it. Everything. And not the extraordinary stuff, but the everyday things. What happens today? Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house where his mother-in-law is there and she's ill. And Jesus simply visits her, takes her by the hand, and she gets up. And what does she do? She didn't say, oh my gosh, Jesus, thank you so much. I'm going to go tell everyone about you. No, she goes, sets to work in her ordinary tasks. She waits on them. She makes them dinner. Because now her life has a deeper meaning. Everything becomes even better when it is united with a relationship with Jesus. Everything. Your marriage is in trouble. Your marriage is struggling. Remember that that is a sacrament in which you are a sign of Jesus' love for the church and God's love for the world. Remember that Jesus is part of that. It doesn't make all your problems go away, but it makes it worth the struggle. Jesus is the key to the purpose of your life. The reason you were created was to be conformed to Jesus. Everyone is looking for you, Peter tells him. Isn't that the truth? Everyone is looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. You're looking for Jesus. The world is out there saying, where is Jesus in all of this? If only Jesus were present. If only Jesus could put an end to these wars and diseases and things like that. How can we find him? Brothers and sisters, there he is. He's here. So many people fly by here every day. People who may really be looking for meaning and hope and struggling to find God. He's right here. And you and I know this. Why do we go anywhere else? And we do. Even those of us who know this. We look for meaning and happiness and joy somewhere else usually. You want to find Jesus, you're in the right place. And it doesn't mean you go out and you have to do extraordinary stuff. It means you go out and you love your husband, you love your wife, you care for your children. You speak kindly and share things with your neighbors. Ordinary things. Because it's in ordinary things that holiness is proved. My brothers and sisters, today we're told everyone is looking for Jesus. And he knows this. Because he's looking for you. He's looking for you. No matter how far you've strayed, no matter how off kilter you might be, Jesus is looking for you, and the moment you make that effort to find him, he's right there, ready to embrace you, ready to give meaning and purpose to every little thing in your life. But you got to look for him. You got to make the effort to see him in each and every moment, in the ordinary things, because he's there, and he's here. We will encounter him. We will touch him. We will receive him. And then we go forth as living tabernacles with Christ within us to be able to share him with others because they're looking for him out there. And you know where to find him. So help them.